This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I am your host, Tim Murray. You can follow me on Twitter at @1TimMurray. Fired up, folks, for today's podcast. Phil Steele going to jump on the podcast here in a little bit. Today, we're going to do a deep dive into the Big Ten. I feel like we haven't touched a ton on the Big Ten conference. Some win totals that Phil does like, and he might convince me to officially add another win total to the portfolio. We'll close out the show with a new best bet out there for me into the season win total market. So looking forward to chatting with Phil Steele. As always, just your reminder, and I saw a couple more five-star reviews coming in. Thank you very much. Let's keep those rolling. Five-star reviews certainly help out the podcast quite a bit. So always love the off-season podcast. Love the comments coming in on social media. So let's keep that rolling, and I will continue to stay true to my word and have a podcast in your feed each and every week. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we might have some special programming later on this week with Mountain West Media Days and Big 12 Media Days being here in Las Vegas. Mountain West will be at the Circa Sportsbook, or at Circa, I should say, and hopefully a couple of those coaches will stop by VSiN Primetime, which you can catch, by the way, me and Jonathan Von Tobel from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weekday. So hopefully we'll have some coaches stopping by, some really good analysis from the Mountain West. Will that be the conference that earns the auto bid to the college football playoff this year? So hopefully we'll have a special podcast in the feed maybe later on this week. But as mentioned, Phil Steele going to join the podcast here momentarily. So I don't want to spend too much time on the open. I did want to hit on this real quickly. Brett McMurphy, who is college football insider extraordinaire and may or may not potentially be stopping by VSiN Primetime later this week with two media days in town. He did tweet out earlier today, as I record this on a Monday, that Oklahoma State running back Ollie Gordon, who was arrested last week for suspicion of DUI, will attend Big 12 Media Days as scheduled on Tuesday in Las Vegas. He is the Big 12 preseason offensive player of the year. Oklahoma State is a team that we have talked about quite a bit here on the podcast, a team that we know has taken some money in the futures market to win the Big 12. Was as long as 12-1, now down around 9-1 or so. Bring back a ton of production from just a year ago, including Doak Walker, award winner for best running back in the country, Ollie Gordon. But suspicion of DUI, will he be suspended for any length of time? That is TBD. Oklahoma State opens up the year against South Dakota State, the reigning FCS champion. They are an 8-point favorite in that game, so we will keep our eyes peeled if there will be some punishment coming down the way for Ollie Gordon. I wanted to run through this. So today, or this week, I should say, I took a cross-country road trip, and I drove from Las Vegas all the way to Pennsylvania and drove past a couple of universities along the way. Iowa, Nebraska, didn't drive past Colorado, but saw it. Shouts to my guy, Mike Sanford. Appreciate the hospitality, he and his family, for letting me stay there at his house on my way across the country. And then my last college that I passed, and I drove right by their enormous stadium, was Penn State, Happy Valley. State College, Pennsylvania. And it got me thinking a little bit about the best offensive coordinator hires this offseason. What offensive coordinators do we expect to make the biggest tweak to an offense this upcoming year? And I just wanted to run through a couple of them just to kind of put it out there. You know, we focus on a lot of head coaching changes, the portal. But offensive coordinator is going to be a big change for a lot of these schools as well. So here are a couple that obviously I think are big. And we'll start with Penn State, why we're doing this discussion. Andy Koltynecki, coming from Kansas, was a phenomenal hire, in my opinion, by James Franklin. Year 11 for James Franklin. Mike Yurcich did not work there for Penn State. And to me, it reminds me a little bit of what we saw back in 2016 when James Franklin went out and hired Joe Moorhead away from Fordham. Joe Moorhead, now the head coach of Akron, spent a time as the Mississippi State head coach after he left Penn State. But those years, those 2 years, 2016 and 2017, that Joe Moorhead was the offensive coordinator there for Penn State, were phenomenal. And you bring in Andy Koltynecki to work with the running back room of Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. I would have loved if Keandre Lambert-Smith had returned, their leading receiver. He's now at Auburn. But what will this do for Drew Aller? And we talked about it last week. Do I want to bet Drew Aller to win the Heisman Trophy? Not necessarily. But at 45-1, when we were going through the exercise of who wins the Heisman and who are some long shots we should look into, Drew Aller, with the new offensive coordinator, it intrigued me a lot. Also, by the way, just to point this out, and we'll talk about this more with Phil Steele, Tom Allen comes in as their defensive coordinator. Manny Diaz left to go become the head coach at Duke. So I love both of their hires, but we're just focusing mainly on offensive coordinators. Running through them, Chip Kelly going to Ohio State. Remember, it was supposed to be Bill O'Brien as the new offensive coordinator there for Ohio State. Bill O'Brien ended up getting the Boston College job, the head coaching gig there. And Chip Kelly, who was flirting with everybody, it felt like, in the NFL for offensive coordinator jobs, ultimately leaves a head coaching position at UCLA, where he may or may not have been on the hot seat entering this year, and he takes over as the offensive coordinator there in Ohio State, a team that many people believe is, at worst, the second-best team in the country. Can make an argument they're the best team in the country, and you've got the likes of Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins at the running back position. Emeka Egbuka comes back. Carnell Tate expected to take a big step into year two. Jeremiah Smith is a freshman phenom that everyone's excited about there in Columbus. So Chip Kelly certainly could make a big change this year. Mike Denbrock going to Notre Dame. Mike Denbrock, offensive coordinator for LSU for the past 2 years. Jaden Daniels winning the Heisman Trophy last year with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. And of course, just Jaden Daniels just being Superman at times himself. He replaces Jared Parker, who leaves to go to Troy to be the head coach there, which every Notre Dame fan was surprised in a positive way, saying, well, Jared Parker's leaving. Mike Denbrock coming in with Riley Leonard. This could be the first time I'll mention him, and he'll be mentioned again. Nate Tice of Yahoo Sports, friend of, I don't know if he's a friend of the podcast, but a friend of mine, sent me a text earlier this week when I tweeted out the Heisman Trophy discussion that we had and the long shot of RG3 coming home. And he looked at Riley Leonard with some googly eyes, 25-1 with Mike Denbrock, a beefed up offensive weaponry, is that a word? Mike Denbrock. Big addition for Notre Dame. How about Tim Lester at Iowa? Tim Lester, formerly the Western Michigan coach, he comes in to Iowa to take over for Brian Ferentz. And, you know, there's a bunch of preseason magazines out there, and I like them all. I also like the VSiN guide as well, which will come out later on this summer. But it was interesting from an opposing Big Ten assistant coach asking about Tim Lester, quote, how much is Tim Lester really going to affect this program? How can Cade McNamara do coming off of injury? Are they going to come out in 11 personnel on first down? Lester was a 3-receiver, 4-receiver look guy at Western Michigan. This is one of the best tight end programs in the history of the game. I don't think anyone really knows what it's going to look like. But he has to be an upgrade, right? Could Iowa's offense be any worse? All right, a couple other that are intriguing to me. offensive coordinator, new offensive coordinators. Eric Bieniemy at UCLA. I'm just curious to see what EB, multiple Super Bowl champion coordinator with the Kansas City Chiefs, did not work last year in Washington, threw the ball a ton with Sam Howell. How is he going to look? How is that offense going to look there in UCLA? Eric Bieniemy going to be the offensive coordinator for UCLA. This is one hire that I love. And everything that has kind of come together for Arizona since Jed Fish departed for the Washington job, to me, has been as good as you could have asked for from this regard. Noah Fifita, who emerged as a big-time quarterback, big-time playmaking quarterback last year, kind of out of nowhere, ended up being the offensive freshman of the year in the Pac-12. They bring in Brent Brennan from San Jose State, and he hires Dino Babers to be his offensive coordinator. I love this hire. Dino Babers has spent time in Arizona. He's an innovative offensive mind. It got a little stagnant up there at Syracuse, but not saying it's exactly like the Chip Kelly situation, but for him to just solely focus on offense, Dino Babers, and now with the weapons that they have, and I'm going to go back to this Athlon Preview magazine, and this is what they said about the offense moving forward there in Arizona. Keeping Fifita and McMillan was an absolutely massive swing. Fifita could be the breakout star of the Big 12. Dino knows how to maximize his weapons. Even though Fish, Jed Fish, ran more pro-style stuff, and Dino is a spread guy, I don't think they're going to overhaul it. I really like this hire for Dino Babers, who was the offensive coordinator down there in the late 90s for the Wildcats. So I love that hire there for Arizona. How about the fact that Bobby Petrino is back at Arkansas? Just for enjoyment's sake, we get Bobby Petrino 11 years removed from the neck brace down there in Fayetteville. He's got Talon Green, Boise State transfer, as his quarterback. I don't know if Arkansas is going to have a very successful season this year. Sam Pittman very much on the hot seat entering that year. But Bobby Petrino, say what you will about him as a character guy, but damn good football coach, for at least from an offensive standpoint. Sean Lewis takes over as a San Diego State head coach. I just like this because San Diego State for years and years and years has been as boring as it comes from an offensive standpoint. And now they've got the creator of hashtag Flash Fast, Sean Lewis, the architect there at Kent State, had successful seasons there. I don't know how good San Diego State will be this year. I think they would be fortunate to make a bowl game, but I just want to watch Sean Lewis run that offense. Remember, Colorado had a lot of success early on in the season last year, and then for some odd reason, he was demoted by Coach Prime, and Pat Shurmur got the head coaching. Pat Shurmur got the offensive coordinator position. All right, a couple more that just intrigued me. Dirk Cutter, back with Boise State. Mentioned Taylor Green a couple years ago. Dirk Cutter stepped in on an interim basis at offensive coordinator and turned the season around for Boise in 2022. Now he steps in for first-year head coach Spencer Danielson. I think this is a very smart hire by Spencer Danielson, a first-time head coach, a guy who knows that Boise State program very, very well, but he's green. And you bring in a veteran like Dirk Cutter, who, Lord knows, what is this, his 15th stop at Boise State, but he loves Boise State, was the head coach there once upon a time. I really like the hire there for Dirk Cutter. I am fascinated to see who they ultimately go with at quarterback. Malachi Nelson, the former five-star recruit out of USC, is getting a lot of hype, but does Maddox Madsen ultimately get the job there? And can either one of them just turn and hand the ball off to Ashton Jeanthe? Maybe that's what they should do. All right, three more that are just interesting from a standpoint of what is it going to look like? How different is it going to be? Zach Lujan is the new offensive coordinator for Northwestern. We're going to talk about the Purple Cats with Phil Steele here momentarily. So David Braun got thrust into an impossible situation a year ago at Northwestern when Pat Fitzgerald was fired right before the season started. David Braun got Northwestern to a bowl game. They won said bowl game against Utah. I was on the sidelines of that game. That team was physical as hell. And now they go out and they get a really creative offensive coordinator in Zach Lujan, who is 28 years old. Look him up. It looks like he's 14 years old and getting ready to play the new college football game, video game, as opposed to coordinate a Power Four program. But he's the FCS coordinator of the year from a year ago, courtesy of Football Scoop. 2 years as the head offensive coordinator for San Diego State, or South Dakota State, I beg your pardon. Beat David Braun in North Dakota State back in 2022. I'm very interested to see the dynamic there. Braun now the full-time head coach. They removed the interim tag right before the bowl game. And now Lujan comes in from South Dakota State to be the OC there in Northwestern, and a team that, you know, is going to be devoid of talent, doesn't have a home field this year, but I'm just curious to see what that offense is going to look like this season up there in Evanston. Mike Wright steps in as their quarterback, the former Vanderbilt quarterback. Curious to see Northwestern with a new innovative head coach, offensive mind there. Two others that just intrigue me. Navy. We know Navy is the triple option. They brought in Grant Chestnut, the former offensive coordinator from Kennesaw State a year ago. It did not work. That offense was not very good. And they fire Grant Chestnut, and now they're going to Drew Cronic, the head coach of Mercer, who got him to the NCAA tournament in the FCS ranks. He runs what is called, quote, the hybrid wing T. So Navy making some unique tweaks. Changes. And then San Jose State, speaking of Navy, Ken Niumatalolo, one of my favorite people out there, hope to talk to him this week at Media Day and on VEASAN Primetime. But he has hired Craig Stutzman as his offensive coordinator. They are not running the triple at San Jose State. Instead, Craig Stutzman, his offense is called the Spread and Shred, formerly of Texas State. So a couple of offensive coordinator minds there. All right, last thing of note before we bring in Phil Steele. A lot of new faces in conferences. We'll talk about Oregon, Washington, UCLA, USC here in a moment with Phil Steele. But I tweeted this out on Sunday night. What is your favorite matchup of the upcoming season with the new conferences? You run through some of these, and while, you know, there still are the unique games of Miami going to Cal Berkeley, which will make a ton of sense, I'm sure, over time. We do get USC at Michigan, September 21st. Tennessee at Oklahoma, September 21st, which I forgot thinking back, hey, this is the return of Josh Heupel. Josh Heupel in 2000 was the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy at Oklahoma, and he's now the head coach of Tennessee. Let's go, Nico. Oklahoma is a 3-point favorite right now against Tennessee September 21st. You've got Utah at Oklahoma State, new Big 12 showdown. I quietly think Florida State at SMU is fascinating. Florida State going to SMU on September 28th. You've got Penn State at USC, a rematch of the epic Rose Bowl. January 2nd, 2017, USC wins 52-49. Sam Darnold throws for 453 yards, 5 touchdowns. Saquon Barkley, buck 94, 2 touchdowns. Chris Godwin had over 180 receiving yards in that game. And then we got some big boys. Ohio State, Oregon, October 12th. That's going to be one of the games of the year. And right now, we've actually seen a flip of favorites. Oregon, I tweeted out when they opened up as a dog against Ohio State in the game of the year lines at Circa, it would be the first time Oregon would be a home dog since October 13th, 2018. Well, now at Circa, Oregon is a 1-point favorite. Texas at Georgia, or excuse me, Georgia at Texas. I messed this one up on the tweet. Georgia at Texas, October 19th, the same weekend of the Austin F1 race. You've got Georgia at Texas. Texas, right now, a 2-point home underdog. I think a lot of people are looking forward to the return of the Texas-Texas A&M rivalry, which will close out the year November 30th in College Station. Texas A&M right now a home 4.5-point dog. Courtesy of the unofficial Twitter poll, 35% of folks are excited for the Georgia-Texas game, not too far behind Ohio State at Oregon, 31%. All right, enough of me blabbering. Let's get to Phil Steele. He will join us on the other side of this break. We're going to talk the Big Ten with Phil Steele. So stick around for that. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. And as promised, one of my favorite people to talk to each and every preseason. The magazine is out. I've got it in my hands as we speak. Phil Steele joins us on the podcast at PhilSteele042 on social media. His website, PhilSteele.com. And of course, the Preview Magazine out wherever you get your Preview Magazines, Barnes & Noble. Get it online. Phil, always a pleasure to chat with you. A labor of love. Just before we get into the Big Ten, because we're going to break that conference down today, for you, the backstory, so many people grab the Preview Magazine. Take us a little bit behind the making of the sweet magazine and how it all comes together each and every year.
Yeah, I tell you, Tim, it's 7 months we spend working on this magazine every year, and I do it in a three write-through process. The first write-through is after the season's over, I go back and read every article that's written about the team during the year. It gives me a real good ebb and flow, not only of the team, but of each position. And then I do the first write-through. The second write-through we do is once we get the spring rosters updated get all the transfer portal moves and do the rewrite of that then. And then the third one is after I talk to the head coaches, and I talk to basically over 120 of the 134 head coaches. On the average, I spend about an hour with each of them, going over every player on the team, making sure we got everybody in the right order, how do they feel about each position, and then, of course, put the final analysis and do the selections. And in years past, I could go to the press, Tim, in the middle of May, because I knew all the rosters. But now with the transfer portal closing on April 30th, I waited all the way till June 7th this year. So we not only captured who entered the portal, but as they left the portal. And almost everybody who was worth signing signed before June 7th. So I do believe we've captured them all for the magazine.
Well, I know you're an Ohio guy, so that's where we'll start. Ohio State, they are, in your power ratings, number 2. And right now, depending on what book you look at, around plus 155, plus 165 to win the Big Ten. Win total sitting at 10.5. Very manageable non-conference schedule, Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall. But from a conference standpoint, they got a challenge. Iowa, Oregon, Penn State, Michigan, all on that roster. You do have Ohio State as your top team in the Big Ten, but Oregon not too far behind. So when you look at this Buckeyes team, Phil, what's your outlook on them heading into what seems to be a make or break type of season for Ryan Day?
Yeah, and I think for Ryan Day, the make or break probably comes down to that Michigan game. He's absolutely got to beat Michigan. I don't know if it's a national championship or a bust type of year, but you have to beat Michigan. And if they don't beat Michigan, they would have to win the national title for him to stick around. Now, when I look at Ohio State, Tim, I love the defense. I rate them the best defense in the country. They've got my number one rated defensive line, number one set of defensive backs. They added in. They picked up a great pickup with Caleb Downs coming over from Alabama. And a lot of the players who normally would have left for the NFL opted to stay. Maybe it's because they haven't beaten Michigan. Maybe it's because they haven't won the Big Ten. But they have a loaded defense. Offensively, all the positions look good. The biggest question mark is at quarterback. I do like Will Howard. Will Howard, of course, led Kansas State to the Big 12 title 2 years ago, and I think he can step in. They're going to run the football more with the quarterback this year with Will Howard, Devin Brown, Sayan and Noland all there. They've got good depth. It's a very talented Ohio State team. Now, as you pointed out, Tim, they have to play Oregon on the road in Autzen Stadium. I actually have them a slight underdog for that game. And they also have to play Penn State on the road in Happy Valley, most likely a whiteout condition. So two really tough games on the schedule. But I think when the smoke clears, they're in the Big Ten title game.
Yeah, we've seen a little bit of movement in the market. Oregon opened as a slight dog, and they are now a slight favorite, just 1 point. But a little bit of movement there towards the Ducks. Before we get to the Ducks, I'm curious, Phil, what did you make of the late move to bring in Chip Kelly when Bill O'Brien opted to take the head coaching job at Boston College?
Oh, I like it a lot. I mean, it was an ideal move for Ryan Day. Ryan Day is a guy that was under Chip Kelly way back when. So the two of them very familiar with each other. And Chip Kelly is, you know, I think he wanted to get the head coaching nowadays, Tim, is ridiculous with all you have to go through, transfer portal and keeping your players happy. I think just going to a coordinator's role for him is great. He is a great, outstanding offensive mind, and he's got to be pretty happy about the talent he's inheriting on the offense.
Oregon also 10.5 wins. Juice varies a little bit. Ohio State is minus 155 at circa to the over. Oregon is around minus 110 both ways. The Ducks do not have to play Penn State or Iowa. A little more challenging non-conference schedule where you've got Boise State and a road trip to Oregon State. But we all are going to be eyes gravitated towards that October 12th game. You talked about Will Howard coming in for Ohio State, Phil. I think a lot of people, myself included, love the marriage that we're going to see with Dylan Gabriel, with Will Stein as the offensive coordinator there in Oregon. So when you look at this Ducks team, you have them third in your power ratings. How far behind, if at all, are they to Ohio State in your mind?
Yeah, I've got them actually tied for first in the Big Ten as far as overall records go this year, because as mentioned, I've got Oregon a slight favorite over Ohio State when they get them in Autzen on October the 12th. I really like this Ducks team, Tim. I mean, you look at the quarterback situation. Now, last year, Bo Nix, 45 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 78% completions. Dylan Gabriel's not going to match those numbers, but he's going to come close, I think, especially throwing to my number one set of receivers in the country, a top-notch running back core, which I rate number 16, and one of the best offensive lines in the entire country. You look at him defensively, I like him up front with Jordan Birch, NFL prospect at defensive end. Linebackers Jacobs and Bassa, both NFL prospects, and the secondary looks solid. This is a very dangerous Oregon team, one that could easily win the Big Ten. I do think it'll be a rematch, Ohio State against Oregon, in the Big Ten title game. And when I go through the schedule, I would like over the 10.5, because I've got the Michigan game as a toss-up. I've got them favored by 3 against Wisconsin on the road, favored by 3 at home against Ohio State. And other than that, I've got them pretty much a double or at least a touchdown favorite in every other game. So I like the Ducks to go over that total.
Oregon and Ohio State from the odds are neck and neck from the Big Ten futures, from for national championship futures, from making the playoff futures. Then there's a little bit of a dip, and it goes to Penn State. This Nittany Lions team coming off a 10-3 year, we talked about it at the open, new offensive coordinators, and Penn State gets Andy Koltunicki coming in from Kansas. I think that's a massive upgrade, Phil. Looking at Penn State this year, non-conference, also pretty manageable. You start the year at West Virginia for Penn State. They get Ohio State at home, no Michigan, no Oregon. This is a team that's a favorite at most shops to make the college football playoff this year. Year 11 for James Franklin now at Penn State. What do you expect from the boys in State College?
And finally, they're not in that East Division anymore. So, I mean, this is his turn to make the playoff. And I do think James Franklin gets it done. Drew Allar is a quarterback that I think will thrive under Andy Koltunicki as the offensive coordinator. And Allar improved as the season went on. They also have Bo Probella there. And he's a guy that does extremely well when called upon, gives him that little change of pace. The running backs are loaded with Singleton, Allen. You add in a Quentin Martin, a true freshman. It's one of the best running back cores in the entire country. In fact, I rate it number 2. The offensive line, a little bit of a question with only 2 starters back, but I think they'll be solid. And defensively, once again, one of the top defenses in the country. Even with the new defense coordinator, they bring in Tom Allen from Indiana, who really knows his stuff. And they also have my number 9 special teams. Now, as you pointed out, the schedule, I think, in the Big Ten, very manageable. They at USC, I rate as a toss-up. Home to Ohio State, I have them a slight underdog. Other than that, I have them favored in their other games. So the road games are at Wisconsin, at Purdue, at Minnesota. all in the winnable category. They get the toughest games like a Washington, Ohio State, and Maryland all at home. I like Penn State to make the playoff this year. And they're another team where when you look at their over-under win total of 9.5, I have them at one pick'em game and one underdog game. So I like the over 9.5.
All right, let's get to Michigan, Phil, because you're coming off of a national championship. Then there was a lot of turnover from the head coach leaving to go to back to the NFL. They do keep Sherrone Moore. They promote him, rightfully so, in my opinion, to head coach. But as you pointed out in your write-up, this is a team that went from one of the most experienced teams a year ago to one of the least experienced teams schedule. You have to host Texas week two, which will be no doubt a very challenge. Wrap up the season against Ohio State. You have Oregon at home. You're an underdog in all three of those games. Win total we've seen at most shops, Phil, been pounded to the under. The 9.5s are pretty much gone. What do we expect from the Wolverines year one of the Sherrone Moore era?
Yeah, at 9.5, I would have gone under the total because I'm expecting about a 9-win season, which is still a really good season. The thing I like about Michigan, Tim, is the defense. They have one of the best defenses in the entire country. Their defensive front is nasty. They've got a very solid secondary. They're solid on special teams. My question marks, and there are two areas you don't want to have question marks. How about quarterback? Who is the quarterback going to be? And I think no matter who wins the job at quarterback, they don't put up overwhelming stats. They're going to be more of a game manager type. And the other question mark is the offensive line. You lose all five starters off that offensive line. And while they feel pretty good about the O-line, I've got question marks about it. Now, the rest of the unit has mentioned defense, skilled players. They're in good shape. But I think Michigan does take a step back. Making the playoff would be an accomplishment for Michigan this year.
Iowa is a team that us bettors, we always get frustrated with because they figure out ways to win, but it's not always pretty. So I'm staring at this Iowa win total, 7.5 at DraftKings, 8 at Circa. Got to pay the juice at DraftKings, -150 to the over. They bring in a new offensive coordinator, much overdue, obviously, with Tim Lester coming in, most notably known from his time as the head coach of Western Michigan. Cade McNamara is back. The schedule, you always get the Cy-Hawk game, as you pointed out, a game that tends to go under, as you pointed out in your notes there. You have to play Ohio State on the road, but no Oregon, no Michigan, no Penn State for the Hawkeyes here. I keep staring at this win total of 7.5, Phil. Walk me through the Hawkeyes and what you expect from Kirk Ferentz's squad in his 26th year.
Tim, that's my absolute favorite over-under play. I tell you what. you tell me, I've got him an underdog against Ohio State, Tim. Who else you got him an underdog against this year?
No, they're not going to be an underdog in any other game other than road trip to Ohio State.
Yeah, and the 7.5?
Yep.
Give me a break. And you know the defense is going to be strong. They've got Phil Parker back as the defensive coordinator. He's got, I thought, all three linebackers. I thought Jackson, Higgins, Castro, all gone to the NFL, right? No, they all opt to return. So this is clearly one of the best defenses in the country. You know the special teams, even though they lose Mr. Punter himself, Torrey Taylor, they bring in another Australian who doesn't. But, you know, Coach Ferentz told me when I was talking to him, going over the team with him, that he's actually more familiar with American football, more American football ready than Taylor was when he came in. So I think the special teams will be solid. Then look at them offensively. They've got their best offensive line they have had in 3 or 4 years, maybe even 5 years. Cade McNamara is back at quarterback. And last year what happened was McNamara got injured and they were going with a quarterback who, let's face it, struggled to throw the ball. Now they've got Brendan Sullivan backing him up. They've got Marco Linnaeus. They've got some players behind him. If McNamara stays healthy, look out. They've got the running backs with Williams and Johnson. Yeah, I have an underdog in one game, and your total 7.5, I'm pounding the over, and that number's only going to go up in Vegas.
You know, when you look at your surprise teams, walk us through your surprise teams, because that's something that I've always gravitated, especially as a bettor, and we're going to go through your changes in schedule strength, too, with UCLA here momentarily, because I think that's a fascinating tool that you put in your guide. But Iowa is one of your surprise teams. What goes into your teams that you deem possible surprise teams?
Well, every year, Tim, in February, I predict the AP top 10. And we've had a tremendous success rate, 95% basically, predicting the AP top 10. So the first thing I do is I say these are non-top 10 teams that I think can actually contend for a playoff spot, or in this case, this year would have to be national title or top four teams in the country. And so I eliminate all the teams I think will be in the top 10. And my number one surprise team, Utah, I think has a great shot of running the table. They get Cam Rising back, much like Iowa last year. When they went to their backup quarterbacks, teams could stack the box against them. Last year, they had most of their tough games on the road. Now they're all on Rice Eccles Stadium, where they just don't lose. Watch out for the Utah Utes. But to be a surprise team, you have to be a non-top 10 team that I think can actually contend for one of the top spots.
Let's get to Nebraska, because this is a team. I was driving across country last week and drove right through Lincoln, Nebraska, and started to get the gears going about this Cornhusker team, a team we haven't seen in a bowl game in almost a decade. Had an opportunity to do it a couple of times last year, but just weren't able to get there, losing their last four games. This is a team that anybody who bet on Nebraska knows how frustrating it was from an offensive standpoint. The turnovers were horrendous, Phil, just a year ago. You believe that this team is going to make a bounce back type of season. Schedule is certainly manageable. I believe they'll be a favorite in every game heading into that October 26 showdown in Columbus. Dylan Raiola, the quarterback, a question. Matt Rhule entering year two at his previous stops. Temple, he had a 4-win improvement. Baylor, he had a 5-win improvement in the regular season. What should we expect from the Cornhuskers in year two of Matt Rhule?
Yeah, and that's how I let off my conversation with Matt Rhule. I'm like, okay, coach, you average an improvement of 5 wins per season, so you're telling me 10 wins this year? And he's like, Phil, those are your words, not mine. But and when I look at Nebraska, I think the biggest thing you touched on last year, quarterback turnovers were huge. Fumbles, not just interceptions, but the fumbles were ridiculous. Raiola comes in, looked great in the spring. I thought Harburg even looked much improved in the spring. Last year was sort of thrown in the fire. If they get down to Harburg, I think he'll be better this year. But this is year two for Matt Rhule. Once again, this is the team that, you know, when I do my metrics articles in the front of the magazine, they usually hit about 75-80%. Well, Nebraska is the one that's ruining my close wins, close losses, because it's every year they have these close losses. But I think that stops this year. And he's proven that in his other two stops. They've got the defense. And, you know, you look at last year being 5-7, they only allowed 304 yards per game last year, and they got the bulk of the defense back. So this is a very dangerous Nebraska team. Minus 17 in turnovers. You know what that means, Tim. They're poised for success off double-digit turnovers. And I think they get to potentially even close to that 10-win total. I've only got them an underdog in three games this year, at Ohio State, at USC, and at Iowa. I'm looking at about a 9-win season for Nebraska. So I like the over 7.5 there.
Let's head to Los Angeles, USC and UCLA. We'll start with the Trojans, who will be in my neck of the woods week one, where they're a underdog around a touchdown. I think it's down to 6 against LSU in that neutral site game on a Sunday nighter. They have to travel to the Big House September 21st. They host Penn State October 12th at Maryland, Rutgers. It's just, you know, the schedule's so tricky from a travel standpoint. USC's a team that, because of, let's just talk about recent, you know, defections from recruiting, it hasn't been a great offseason from an off the field standpoint, I would say, from USC. That all being said, what do you make of the boys from Troy here in this win total at DraftKings is at 7, circa 7.5. So a little bit of a difference out there in the market for USC heading into this year from a win total perspective.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting with USC. And a lot's going to depend, believe it or not, on the defensive side of the ball, which I think will be vastly improved this year. Let's face it, the last 2 years, their defense has been very poor, allowing over 30 points per game combined in the 2 years. But they bring in UCLA's defense coordinator, Lynn. He brings in some guys from UCLA with him that started there, and UCLA had a really good defense last year. They bring in some Oregon State transfers. And so this is a defense that's vastly improved. Offensively, Lincoln Riley's always going to have a potent offense. And Miller Moss looked great in the bowl game with those 6 touchdown passes. They've got their skill players are definitely there. I've got a lot of toss-up games. This is a team that I sort of struggle with, Tim. I've got LSU in the toss-up category. I got Penn State, Maryland, Washington, the Maryland and Washington games both on the road, all in the toss-up category. The games I've got them an underdog would be Notre Dame and Michigan. I think they potentially top last year's 8-win total, but a lot goes on, and we're going to have to see how that defense really comes along.
So one of the metrics I alluded to just a moment ago was your schedule strength differences from a year ago, whether it be from challenging to less challenging or less challenging to much more challenging. And no team has a bigger uptick in schedule strength per your metrics than UCLA. And I like to see that. And I referenced it last week when I gave out UCLA's win total under 5.5. We've seen a little bit of movement towards that side as well. DraftKings still at 5.5, but -150 now. This schedule is very challenging for Deshaun Foster in year number one. You got a road trip to LSU, Oregon, at Penn State. That stretch there for 3 straight weeks is as tough as it gets. You go to Nebraska, host Iowa. You're taking on USC at home. We know that'll probably be a 50-50, if not more, pro-USC crowd. So you're looking at least 6 games where they're an underdog, not including some toss-ups. What do you make of UCLA and a pretty unique circumstance? We talked about Chip Kelly leaving to go to Ohio State. What a big pickup, Phil, that was for Ohio State. UCLA goes and get Deshaun Foster. They bring in Eric Bieniemy from the NFL ranks to be their offensive coordinator. What do you expect from UCLA in year one in the Big Ten?
You know, and I agree with you 100%, Tim. I like the under with UCLA for the fact you pointed out. Look at that schedule difference. I mean, last year they avoided a lot of the big boys in the Pac-12. The Pac-12 had a great year last year. UCLA had probably the best schedule of any Pac-12 team and got to 8 wins with it. This year, you look at some of their home games. Oregon, there'll be an underdog there. Iowa, there'll be an underdog there. USC could very well be an underdog there. That means a lot of the winnable games, your Washingtons, Nebraskas, Rutgers, they're all on the road this year, throwing a non-conference game against at LSU on the road. I only have them favored in 3 games with 1 game of toss-up. So I like the under with UCLA as well. And they go from number 46 on my experience chart down to number 96. They're breaking in a first-year head coach in Deshaun Foster. Now, Foster's been there, knows the players. It's his 7th year there, but it is still a brand-new head coach, new coordinators on both sides of the ball. So I agree with you 100% there, Tim.
All right, let's do some quick hitters, Phil, because this conference is so deep. There's so many teams. So before we let you run, we'll try to do some quick hitters on as many teams as possible. From someone from the D.C. area, watching James Madison's rise has been a lot of fun to see. So when Indiana went and poached Kirk Cignetti from James Madison, it immediately piqued my interest. And you look at Indiana, how much they're bringing back from last year, albeit a team that just went 3-9. The schedule, based off of your metrics, is the easiest schedule in the Big Ten. You do play Ohio State on the road, but there's no Oregon, there's no Penn State, there's no USC. Their non-conference is as manageable as you could ask for a first year with FIU, Western Illinois, and Charlotte. Indiana's win total sits at 5 right now. Wow. Could the Hoosiers be a team that might surprise us and get to bowl eligibility?
With Indiana, I love the over here. Talking to Coach Cignetti, and I remember last year with my conference or my call with Cignetti at James Madison, I had questions at the quarterback spot. And he's like, look, Phil, I have had an all-conference quarterback every single year. We're going to have an all-conference quarterback. I'm like, okay, Coach, that we'll go there. Who was the conference player of the year? His quarterback, Jordan McLeod, first-year starter for him. So he's a confident coach. He's one who's never had a losing season. And he brought in a lot of players with him from James Madison. James Madison had a heck of a defense last year, and he brings in a lot of those players off that defense. They know the system well. At quarterback, he brings in a player that was the MAC offensive player of the year in Curtis Rourke. They've gotten upgraded almost every single unit across the board. A lot of new players, but as you touched on, Tim, the schedule is manageable. I've got some toss-up games on the schedule, but the only real underdog games I have them are home against Michigan and at Ohio State. Other than that, they got a chance of winning all the other games. And when new head coaches come in, if they have that early success, players buy in, And I think that's going to happen here. The FIU, Western Illinois, Charlotte, Maryland at home, even at UCLA, I think is in a winnable category. Northwestern on the road is winnable. This might be a very confident team heading into the season. I like the over a lot on this. And they are my number four most improved team in the country.
What about Rutgers? You mentioned it in your write-up. When people look at the schedule, I think we already made the joke, but it's worth repeating here that Rutgers, it feels like the Big Ten said, okay, we know you've taken your lumps in the Big Ten East. You're not in the Big Ten East anymore, so here's a schedule with no Ohio State, no Michigan, no Penn State, no Oregon, no Iowa. So the top five teams in some people's eyes in this conference, Rutgers avoids all of them. They do have a challenging non-conference game on the road against Virginia Tech, a team that I think a lot of people anticipate to have a pretty solid season down there in Blacksburg. But the schedule is pretty manageable there for Rutgers. Ethan Kaliakmanis comes in from Minnesota. What do we make of the Scarlet Knights? Win total sitting at 6 for Greg Schiano's squad.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, I did an analysis on just purely conference schedule for the Big Ten, and they have the best. They're the weakest conference schedule. They avoid every single one of the big boys. Toughest opponent, USC or a Washington maybe, and they also get 5 Big Ten home games this year. Now, when I talked to Coach Schiano, they're number 8 on my experience chart, and he said their offensive line's not quite yet where he wants it to be, but I think he has high expectations for the offensive line. And with Kaliakmanis, he did not light it up last year at Minnesota. But when he was under Kirk Soroka, who was his offense coordinator, he did look good. In fact, coming into last year, I thought the Greek gunslinger was going to have a big year. He just didn't under different coordinators. He's reunited with Soroka, should have a good season here. They've got one of the most underrated running backs in the country in Kyle Monongai. And defensively, they look solid. And last year's defense was really good, only allowed 313 yards per game. So it's a veteran team with a great schedule. I definitely like over the 6 in this one. I do have an underdog at Virginia Tech, at Nebraska, at USC, and at Maryland, but they've got a chance to win all their other games.
A team that, I opened the podcast talking about new offensive coordinators, and I got to do the sidelines of Northwestern's bowl game, came away just so impressed by David Braun and how that team rallied behind him with everything that happened last offseason with Pat Fitzgerald. They go out and they get South Dakota State's offensive coordinator. He looks like he's 14, but he's Zach Luan is a very impressive to see. But Northwestern, I don't know what to make of them this year, Phil, because of the home field situation. They won't be playing at their field. So Northwestern, what do you make of the Purple Cats this year? Because there's reasons to be optimistic. The quarterback play concerns me with the late transfer. So Northwestern sitting around 4.5 wins at most shops. What do you make of the Purple Cats this year?
Well, I'll be 100% honest with you, Tim. If last year at this time, once Pat Fitzgerald was let go and David Braun came in, and you gave me an over-under win total of 2.5 or 3 on Northwestern, I probably would have gone under. And you were wondering if they were going to win a game all year. You watch that Rutgers game week 1 where they were just absolutely demolished by Rutgers. And you're thinking, can they win a football game this year? And at the end of the year, if you're on the sidelines for that Utah game, how impressive was that? That was a really good Utah team.
Yep.
And they beat them 14-7. They played a great game against them, finished with 8 wins. If you gave me an over-under win total of 7 last year, or actually the bowl win account, so let's say we get 6, I probably wouldn't have a house this year, Tim. So David Braun is a guy that just completely overachieved. I'm scared betting against them.
Yep.
And I'm not going to bet against them at that low number. But when I look at Northwestern and put the talent, put the schedule together, I do have an underdog in 7 or 8 games this year. Yeah. So I think it's accurate. I picked him 16th in the Big Ten, but he worries me because he really overachieved last year and he might just do it again this year.
We hit on all the newbies. Before I let you run, Jed Fisk heads into Washington. It's going to be an overhaul after making it to the national championship a year ago. We talked about Michigan, how challenging it's going to be to replace everything that they had walk out the door. Similar situation for Washington. Non-conference schedule seems pretty manageable with Weber State, Eastern Michigan, and then a, you know, quote, neutral site game at the Seahawks Stadium against Washington State. They do have a road trip to Rutgers, which I think will be a challenge. What do you make of Washington and Jed Fish's first season as the head coach of the Huskies? Right now, you're looking at a win total around 6.5, Phil. Will Rogers does stay, but boy, it's a pretty big overhaul there in Seattle.
A huge overhaul. And first of all, you had a late coaching change, which hurts. And then, of course, in the era of the transfer portal, a lot of players leave when given the door open for a transfer change. I don't like the fact they have zero offensive linemen returning this year. In fact, this is one of the least experienced teams in the country. They go from number 22 on my experience chart all the way down to number 132. And we saw it with TCU. Remember, TCU played in a national title game and last year didn't even make a bowl game. The same possibility exists for Washington. I think if Jed Fish guides this team to a bowl game, he'll have done a good job. It's a tougher schedule this year, a big jump. In fact, Washington plays the toughest schedule in the Big Ten. You talked about Rutgers avoiding the big boys. Washington plays Michigan, Oregon, Penn State, and Iowa for the big boys. They've got 5 Big Ten road games this year, a brutal schedule. So I think just making a bowl game would be an accomplishment.
All right, last one for me, Wisconsin. I applauded them getting Luke Fickell. I thought this was such a phenomenal hire. Struggled a bit last year. Did, you know, it was competitive in their bowl game against LSU, ultimately fell short, but a 7-win season. I think people in that area were surprised to see it. They lost to Washington State for a second consecutive year, and now you replace Washington State with Alabama in that non-con. So it gets a little more challenging there. No Ohio State on the schedule. You do have Oregon at home. You get Penn State at home. They're coming off a bye. Wisconsin win total sitting around 7. I'm a huge Luke Fickell guy, but it just something seems a bit off there in Madison.
Yeah, and I think that the schedule is big as far as my concerns for Wisconsin. I will say this about Luke Fickell. First year at Cincinnati, went over the roster with him, and he told me how he's going to build that team. And then a few years later, they're playing in the playoff for the only group of 5 team that gets there. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. And I think he's going to get the same thing done at Wisconsin. I just don't know if it's going to be this year. It might be year 3 for Coach Fickell to really hit his stride. And last year would have been better had it not been for quarterback injuries. Remember, Mordecai got hurt. Then they lost Chez Malusi early in the year. And then Braylon Allen, their other top running back, goes down. So they basically had a couple of walk-ons at running back. They were very injury-prone last year. They actually do rank in my top units in all 8 individual units in the front of the magazine. So I think they have talent. The schedule, though, at USC, at Rutgers, at Iowa, at Nebraska, home against Oregon, home against Penn State, they're going to be an underdog in a bunch of games this year. It's going to be tough for them to top that 7-win total. I do think it's a home run hire with Luke Fickell. And next year, Tim, when we're having this conversation, if we're talking Big Ten, I'm going to be very high on what Wisconsin has next year.
Does a Big Ten team for a second straight year, Phil, win the title?
I actually went with Georgia this year, Tim. I just like the overall depth they have. And really, with the expanded playoff, you need to have depth at every single position. And Georgia is one of those teams where when you get to their third stringer, you're looking at a guy that would start in a lot of other places. So I think Georgia has the best depth. They've got I'd take their quarterback over Ohio State's quarterback. Carson Beck, I think, is in for a big year. They have my number one rated offensive line as well. And defensively, they're loaded. So I do think Georgia, even though Georgia might suffer a loss or two during the regular season, I mean, they play at Bama, at Texas, at Ole Miss. Those are 3 top 10 teams on the road. I think when the dust settles at the end of the year, the team with the most talent wins it. And I'm going with Georgia this year.
Phil Steele's Preview Magazine out everywhere. You can order it online, philsteele.com. And of course, follow him on social media at philsteele042. Phil, this is always one of my favorite conversations each and every offseason. Much appreciated with the time, and can't wait to continue to dig in to the Preview Mag.
Sounds great. Appreciate that, Tim. Appreciate you having me on. And remember, if you're out looking for the magazine, Barnes & Noble Books a Million exclusively this year, or philsteele.com. But Tim, I always enjoy our conversations. We've been doing this for quite some time.
And thanks to Phil Steele. Great stuff from him. Always love picking his brain. And hopefully we will get him on a little bit later on in the summer and break down another conference with Phil. But I wanted to close the podcast with this because you heard how strong he was on a couple of teams and their win totals. And right now for the podcast, where we sit with our portfolio is the unique way to bet Notre Dame, the created over 9.5 market at -$2, where we took the exact win market of 10 wins at 3-1, and then the over 10.5 at +138. And we created ourselves a -200 over 9.5 market on Notre Dame. We added UCLA under 5.5, -140 last week. That has moved to -150 at DraftKings. So, hey, we got some closing line value there. Even though I did a whole diatribe on why we shouldn't bet anyone in the Heisman Trophy market, I couldn't help myself with Nico Imeleava. Maybe just because I want to say that name every single week, but we are in on him at 18-1. And we are going to add over 7.5 wins for Iowa. Might hate ourselves for this one because it's Iowa and their offense. But boy, Phil got me fired up about Iowa. And this is a team that, from a schedule standpoint, plays 5 Big Ten road games and 4 Big Ten home games. I would much prefer 4 Big Ten home games. They did have Alabama transfer Caden Proctor enrolled in the spring, and he has since left and gone back to Alabama. That would have been nice to have him still there on the left side of that offensive line. But I look at this schedule. There's no Michigan. There's no Oregon. There's no Penn State. There's no USC. They are going to, let's just call it what it is, lose to Ohio State. Outside of that, as Phil Steele mentioned, they are not going to be an underdog in any other game. However, there are about 6 toss-up games. Iowa State, week 2. Right now, the look-ahead line at DraftKings is Iowa -2.5. At Minnesota, home to Wisconsin, at UCLA, at Maryland, they'll be off a bye going to Maryland, home to Nebraska. Getting Nebraska at home and Wisconsin at home, I think, is very beneficial. And Iowa State. As we know, the Cy-Hawk game gets really wacky. So if we can trust in Iowa to take care of business against Illinois State, Troy with a first-time head coach in Jared Parker at home, Washington at home, Michigan State on the road, and Northwestern at home. That's 5 games. If we can trust in Iowa to win those games, can Iowa go 3-3 in their toss-up games against Iowa State, Minnesota on the road, Wisconsin, at UCLA, at Maryland, and home to Nebraska? I think they certainly could. Now, this is a program that got shut out 3 times last year on the road at Penn State, whom they don't have to play this year. Michigan in the Big Ten Championship, whom they don't have to play this year, and in the bowl game against Tennessee. How much of an upgrade is Tim Lester going to be as the offensive coordinator? Remains to be seen. Can he be any worse than Brian Ferentz? I know I'm asking a lot there. I do think the late addition of Brendan Sullivan from Northwestern is a very good thing for Iowa. Because how healthy is Cade McNamara? So does Brendan Sullivan help out this Iowa offense? Does he become the starter at some point? Now, we've had on Kelly Ford and Tyler Shoemaker on the podcast. They both have their own models, and their models both spit out 7.6. So obviously over 7.5 wins, not a big edge. There is a national shop out there in many states dealing Iowa over 7.5 at -134. It is a shop that is not available here in Nevada. I will be betting over Iowa 7.5 minus 135 at Stations Casino here in town. Circa's at 8. Just point that out there. Circa Sports is sitting at 8 for Iowa. So we get 7.5 at a lot of shops that are out there. We're going to roll with the Hawkeyes, and hopefully the boys from Iowa City can take care of business year one without Brian Ferentz as the offensive coordinator. So hopefully Tim Lester was the right hire. A team that brings back 10 starters on offense might be one of the best defenses in the country. We trust in you, Hawkeyes. Let's get it done. Over 7.5. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. Hopefully later this week, we will have a special Mountain West, maybe Big 12 content. I'm going to be going to Media Days later this week, so hopefully we'll have some content coming out there. We'll have a brand new episode breaking down another conference next week. TBD on who that guest may be. But as always, let's keep the momentum rolling. Please rate, review, and subscribe. As mentioned, saw a couple more 5-star reviews in there. Keep it rolling, baby. I love to see it. So please hit that rate, review, and subscribe. Let's keep that rolling. I'm Tim Murray, and we will be back next week right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.